I'd like to invite all of you into a passage of scripture that comes in the Old Testament. This is in the Hebrew scriptures, Psalm 20. And what we're going to do is we're going to start at verse 1. We'll continue reading the entire psalm, but Psalm 20, starting at verse 1, I'm going to be reading from a translation Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. It's the updated edition of that version, but I invite you to follow along in your favorite translation. Psalm 20, starting at verse 1. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob protect you. And may he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Salah. And may he grant you your heart's desire, fulfill all your plans. And may we shout for joy over your victory and in the name of our Lord God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. And now I know that the Lord will help his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with a mighty victories by his right hand. Some take pride in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God. They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise and stand upright. Give victory to the King, O Lord. Answer us when we call. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Everlasting God, we give you thanks on this day for these words that you are speaking into our very midst. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that as these words have been shared, we pray, Lord, that they may become living words in each of our hearts. Lord, do give us eyes so that we may see. Give us ears so that we may hear from you. Lord, give us hearts so that we may be able to comprehend the depths of your mercy and the depths of your grace. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken to me. I pray that as I speak this morning, the words that I share, that they will be acceptable to you. And Lord, that truly that they will be received in the midst of all of the meditations of each of our hearts. For this I pray together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. When I was reading through this Old Testament psalm that is here, is a TV show that came to mind, is a show that was called Community. And this show was it was a comedy, but it was a show that was basically built around a community college. And so it was a really funny show. It was a creative show. But the community college, as you can imagine, just that kind of environment, and this is really what the writers and the producers of the show would dive into. There's a great deal of diversity of people that come around community colleges. You know, there are always people that are coming in. There are always people that are going out, people from all over, people at different ages in life, people that are in very different places in their lives, different situations that are happening in their lives, and the show really centered on a study group, which is what that was part of this community college that was there. And late toward the end of the final season of the show, there was a new character that comes in. They introduced this new character, and he's a new student, student being someone that's in a second career, you know, so don't think about just youth and age when you hear new student, but someone that was in a second career and was in a community college there. And it was the kind of person that everyone that was around this one person, they just really enjoyed talking to them. They just really enjoyed being in their company, being in their presence. And so the show does this sidebar with this one person that everyone just enjoys spending time with. People will talk about that. It says, you know, after you spend time with this one new student that has come in, that you feel better about it. And so they do a sidebar and ask, it says, why is that? What happens? He said, well, you know, I'm constantly coming across these people that are feeling down on themselves. I'm constantly finding people, and they've got all this talk that's going on in their heads, and they're talking about how bad they feel. They talk about how bad they are, how bad circumstances are around them. And he says, I'm just encouraging them. I'm just telling them, you're doing a good job. I'm telling them, just hang in there. It's going to be better. And he says, that's all that I'm doing there. And I know that as we come across a psalm like this, I know that there are times that even we can do that to ourselves. As much as we may love God, as much as we may recognize, and as we stand particularly on a weekend like this when we honor so many who have sacrificed, I know it is even possible for us to sometimes not feel the best about ourselves, to even sometimes have those kinds of negative thoughts and those kinds of negative ways that we talk to our own selves. But if you notice in Psalm 20, if you notice this whole psalm that we were able to read, you know, it's not often that we're able to read in just a few minutes all the way from the beginning of a psalm to the end of the psalm. But if you notice, if you take a minute to go through there, I want you to pay attention to this. And again, you don't have to use my translation. You can use your favorite translation. But notice those times that you read about that simple word, may. May God send help from the sanctuary. May God remember all of your offerings and sacrifices. May God grant your heart's desires and fulfill all your plans. And not only that, not only notice all of those times, and those are just a few. There's even more. There's more mays that are happening in there. But all those places that are there, not only reading them, but to take just a moment and personally recognize them, personally notice them, and then imagine that this is exactly what God is doing in our lives right now. May God send help to you from God's sanctuary. May God remember you for all of your offerings, for all of your sacrifices. May God grant your heart's desires and fulfill your plans. In fact, may we shout for joy of our victory. And as much as we try to mask it or run away from it, we all have moments when we're not at our best, where we feel down on ourselves, maybe even times when we doubt. And sensing that maybe God has abandoned us or turned away from us and not fulfilled our plans or even not fulfilled our heart's desire. And in moments like this is why it's so assuring to come across a psalm like this, of Psalm 20, and notice all those things that may God do in all of our lives. Now if you go a little bit closer, if you take not only those places where it is, may God, and may God do these things, may God send help from the sanctuary, may God shout for joy over the victory that we have, may God grant you your heart's desires and fulfill all of your plans. But if you read a little bit closer, if you just linger over this psalm just a little bit longer, you'll notice that these phrases will emerge, like the Lord's anointed. You'll notice toward the end of the psalm that this phrase, like chariots and horses, that start to emerge here. Historically, this psalm, Psalm 20, if we move from today, if we go all the way back and to the historical setting of it, this is a psalm that is a prayer for God's anointed to have victory in battle. So this is the origin of this psalm. This is where it comes from, that the anointed one of God may secure victory in battle. And as we do, as we honor so many who have faced battles, both domestic and foreign, we know how close war and destruction can come. We know how close conflict can come, even when we're not expecting it. And while we're not facing battles of war, we all know what it's like. We all know what it's like to be caught up in conflict, and even we know what it feels like to be caught up in conflict that seems like it's unending. The kind of forever conflict that is not only destructive to us personally, but can even harm us as a community, and definitely has an opportunity to harm us as a nation. But notice what else happens in this psalm when you read it through the lens of your own conflict, The personal experience of this fighting that emerges, this personal experience of the shunning that can happen when we do have very bitter conflict with one another, this kind of turning away that can happen when we sometimes refuse to face the conflict that's in front of us. Read this psalm through a lens of conflict. God will answer you in the day of troubles, what the psalmist reminds us. And notice that God will answer you in the day of trouble, not after you've taken a moment to pull yourself from the situation and to figure everything out and to solve all the problems, but God will answer you in the day of trouble. God will even protect you, the psalmist reminds you. And again, remember this, like in the midst of conflict, not that you've already settled everything, but you are in the middle of it. God will answer you in the day of trouble. God will protect you in the day of trouble. May God send help from the sanctuary. Imagine that. That in the midst of conflict, that in the midst of divisiveness, that it is this sanctuary, a space like this at Grace Point, that may God send help from the sanctuary. And even shout for victory. Shout for joy over your own victory. Resolution that comes through God and God's presence with you. And that others will shout for joy. And then this, may God fulfill all of your petitions. Those times when you're so mad, so hurt, crying over God and wondering, why God? Why haven't you answered me sooner? God, now is the time to move. Now is the time to act. And notice even toward the end of the psalm, Psalm 20, verse 7, that phrase. Again, drawn from the battlefield, but that phrase, some take pride in chariots and horses. One of the interesting aspects of the historical period, particularly that the psalmist is writing in, is that there were classes of soldiers in battle. Even ancient warfare had divisions and companies and brigades, so there were different classes. Chariots would often represent richer, more prosperous battle-trained soldiers, as well as horses, were not so wealthy. It's interesting that even in the ancient world, that wealth would have such a powerful influence. But notice what the psalmist reminds us of. Ultimately, pride is not in the number of horses, not even in the number of chariots. Those who take pride in such things, the psalmist reminds us, they will fall. But we, as God's people, we are people who will stand upright, not because of the number of horses, not because of the number of chariots, but because we take pride in the presence that God has around us. And perhaps this is the most powerful aspect for us as we imagine the kind of conflict and destruction with those that are close to us. Pride is not in our own techniques, our own skills, what we can do, what we can fix. You know, those things that we want to rely on so often. You know, they just won't listen. You know, that skill of communication. You know, if they would just think about it, you know, your own wisdom, that certainly has to be better than the person that you're fighting with. And also, well, you know, they're just set in their own ways. So there's no way that they could possibly see where I'm coming from. And I mean, we could go on and on in that regard, which is when we really get into trouble. That's when pride in our abilities, our own assessments, can spiral deeper into conflict. Just think about it. Just think about in the people that we have lifted up in this day, the people that we have honored on this day. I mean, just think about the collected amount of skill, ability, wisdom, and the collective amount of training that has been represented just here at Grace Point, and even well beyond the ones that were in the slideshow this morning, the ones whose pictures we did saw. Just think about all the others. They are people that are well beyond horses and chariots, access to the most powerful military arsenal on the planet. Yet, That is not where even their pride comes from. Definitely not where our pride comes from. And if you were to ask them, those that we have opportunities to continue to ask, they would tell you that themselves. You know, I got to know when I was serving in a church, a former missionary, but before he became a missionary and was serving in foreign countries, he was a kid, as he would describe himself, but he had experienced combat in Vietnam. And he would say there, you know, I was just a kid that was out there alone. But one of the unique things about this, and out there alone in places that he had never seen on a map before, places that he had never imagined ever being a part of, he would say this. He said that when he felt like he was by himself and felt like he was alone, he knew. He knew that every Sunday night that his church, a United Methodist church that he had grown up in, that he had been baptized in, that they had nurtured him, that he had, well, he had received Christ into his heart in that church. He knew that they would gather on Sunday evenings, and he knew that there was going to be on the altar table, that there was going to be a candle that was lit as his name was lifted up in prayer. Now, it was not only his name, but it was the names of others that were serving all over the world at the time. And he said that he knew that as his name was lifted up in prayer, as that candle was lit on that altar, he said that was enough. That was enough a lot of times to get him through one more week. And with pride in the faithfulness of the people of God, with pride in God who was present in places that he had never heard of before his deployment, surrounded by all the firepower, surrounded by all the advanced technology that was available at the time, he knew for him to stand up. He knew for him to be able to stand up right. He knew that God was the one who gives the victory, that God was the one that would answer when he called. And that's where he took his pride from, is knowing that God was the one that would enable him to stand up. That is the great reminder that all of us have this morning, is that in the midst of those who tower above us at times with the honor and the distinguishedness of what they have served with, that we know that ultimately when we come together, whether it is a battle that we're facing around the world or if it is a battle that is much, much closer to us at home, we know that ultimately our pride, what enables us to stand up, what equips us to stand upright, is not on the horses and chariots of our own techniques, our own power, but we know it's in what God can do in our lives and what God is doing in our world. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the times, Lord, that you do unite your people in peace. We thank you for the times, Lord, that you have equipped us to offer food to those who are hungry. And for the times, Lord, that you have banished the pain and even the sin from each of our hearts, and you have equipped us to offer mercy, Lord, when revenge has been our motive. Lord, we do not diminish the battles that anyone is facing this day. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, but in each of those battles and in each of those conflicts, Lord, that you will let us will be reminded that you ultimately are the one God who is in control. Lord, as difficult as it may be to see, as hard as it may be to feel in each of our own lives, Lord, we pray on this day. Pray in this moment that you would ultimately, Lord, remind us each that you are in control of our lives, that you are in providence of our world, and Lord, you are a God who shows honor and mercy to us as we come near to you. And Lord, we pray on this day that our own battles, they may be a little bit smaller and ultimately overcome, not by pride in our own selves, but in the pride, Lord, of you, who has truly overcome the world and has truly been raised up. Lord, may we be raised up with you on this day. We pray and we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you join us now in singing another great patriotic song, America, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Would you join with me in prayer? Almighty God, on this day we do pause for a moment once again to honor those who are serving and those who have served around our world. And we lift up to you, O God, leaders, leaders of our own country as well as leaders around the world. May they be responsive, O God, to your leading and to your calling. We pray and ask that your blessings be upon our President Joe Biden as well as our President-elect Donald Trump. We pray, O God, that you may turn their hearts towards you and that together that we may work, Lord, as your people to honor the principles that you have set in our hearts. We also lift up to you the leaders of our church. We pray that you will watch over and protect our Bishop Jonathan Holston. Continue, O God, to lead him in your heart. And we pray and ask that you will be with this cabinet as well, especially with our district superintendent, Mary Henley. May you continue, O God, to lead all of your people in ways of wisdom, ways of love, and ways of grace. And may we, as your people, the body of Christ assembled here, may we go forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, relying not on our own pride, but on the pride that you offer to us, of knowing, O God, that you are the God that we serve and that we love. And now we ask you, O God, to hear us in the name of Christ as we end this prayer and lift up praises to you. Amen.